Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for the privilege to come here this morning and share the story that God's gave me and my life to use all. And I want to thank God and Jesus for the opportunity to come here, because it's only because of Jesus that I'm alive today. And it's only because of the patience of God and the love of God that I'm here to stand here today to tell you what God's done in all life for me and my whole family. And I'm just so blessed to be here. I just want to say praise God. He's so awesome. And I guess I'll start with my life when I was just a couple week old baby. My parents adopted two twin boys. We were 2 weeks old in Angusta County, Pennsylvania. And my parents could never have any children, and after so many years, they decided they're going to adopt some children. And so they adopted me and my twin brother, and we were identical twins, and we were so identical that they had to wear tags on us for a while. And then as we got older and went to school, we had a lot of fun being in school, because we could play tricks on the teachers. And as we got older, we even took that a little further, and we used to play tricks on our girlfriends, because we were so identical we could switch and they wouldn't know it, you know. But we always cut it off before it got out of hand, you know. But we just we had fun just with that. But my brother was so identical. We were just so close growing up, because it was me and my brother and then my mom and my dad. But we had that tie that we didn't have. My parents were good parents. They were Christian parents. We were raised Mennonites. I grew up in the Mennonite church, you know. And they were good parents, but me and my brother just had that tie together that it was just so special. But everything we did was always together, fishing, hunting, riding horseback. If you messed with one of us, you were messing with both of us. You know, we just were just kind of unique like that. But when I was 16 years old, we lived in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And I had dropped out of school at eighth grade and got a full-time job when I was 15 years old. And my brother did too. And as time went on, when I was 16, I got offered a better job in Lancaster County. And we lived in Perry County, which was like 100 miles apart from each other. And my uncle offered me a job in Lancaster County, so I went there and took the job that he had. It paid more money, and so I moved out of home, moved there, and then me and my brother were separated over that time. We'd just see each other on weekends, and we both were dating, and he would come weekends, and we would just hang out Sunday nights. We'd go to this truck stop, and we'd sit there and drink coffee and just talk about how the week went, and my brother was always lit up for God, and he used to get on me, because after he'd seen me move away from home, he started seeing me kind of backsliding and doing a lot of things that he didn't really approve of. And he used to say, "Matt, what are you doing?" And I used to say, "Oh, it's okay." But he just always get on me about it. And the last time, on a Sunday night, we were talking, and he just let me know, you know, that he said he loves me, but he wishes I would, you know, get myself together. And because I was starting to get into a little bit of drinking, and he wasn't, you know, he didn't approve of it. But anyhow, he left that night, and Wednesday nights we would always get together at a place called Pendu. It was just a place where the youth would get together and hang out and just have a good time. And we were there Wednesday night. I remember I just come in there and just hanging out with the guys, and all of a sudden one of the guys came to me and they said, "Matt," they said, "you need to go and you need to call home." So I went and I got a phone. Even back then, we didn't have cell phones. You know, I called home, and my buddy of mine, his name was Bob Wheeler. He lived in Perry County also, and he answered the phone. He said, "Matt," he said, "something terrible's happened tonight." He said, "Your twin brother got killed tonight." And this was on a Wednesday night, and I said, "No, he didn't get killed." Said, yes, he did. And, you know, I didn't want to believe it. And I said, "No." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "Matt, I wouldn't kid about anything like this." And it really cut me. It cut me. it helped me really. It's just something you don't want to accept, you know. And I got angry at God. I was like, "Why, God?" You know. And I just rebelled against God. I blamed everything on Him. And I just went into a mindset, well, I don't care what I do anymore. I'm just going to live for myself because God doesn't love me anyhow. And I went on this destiny basically to destroy myself. I just had this mindset that God doesn't care and He doesn't love me. And I got into drinking real heavy, and that wasn't good enough. And it didn't ease the pain, so I got wrapped up in doing drugs, and next thing I know, I was a fool. I was fully addicted to cocaine. It didn't seem like there was much hope anymore. I was just living my life like not caring whether I lived or died. And I was spending what I made every week on buying the drug, and it still wasn't enough. And after 2 years of that, I had became so thin and so unhealthy. My friends started seeing that I was starting to die. And they started confronting me. And they're like, "Matt, you need to quit. You need to get off of this." And I knew I did. I knew I did. And at the time, I was still too angry at God. I didn't call out to God for any help, but all the time He was there, because in that time even, God was watching over me, because so many things happened that you know that I'm still here, and it's all because of God. But while I was trying to get out of that addiction, they would just say, "Matt, come, you need to do this and you need to do that." But through it all, I actually, well, what really helped me the most is I met a beautiful woman, and she was my girlfriend, and she knew that I was struggling, but she didn't know I struggled with it like that. But she helped me, which is my wife now, and she was a gift from God. And she helped me get off of that addiction. And we got married in 1995, and life was really good at first. We were in love, and everything was so great. But, you know, I hadn't gave my life to Christ yet. I still had a lot of bitterness and hate in me. And after a couple years, I started sinking back into my depression and started, you know, missing my brother again. And then I started drinking every night, which was just a couple beers. And then it led to a six-pack every night. And my wife sat there and watched me going through all this pain. And she worried about it. And she was praying for me all the time. She never gave up. And after a while, that six-pack just led to a 12-pack. And the 12-pack led to a case every night. And in between that time, it came to the point where that wasn't even cutting it anymore. And I just couldn't find the void in my life that I needed. And all the time, my wife and my children, by that time, God had blessed me with five beautiful children. And you know, I blamed God for my past. I blamed Him for being adopted. I had bitterness in me after I lost my brother. Before I lost my brother, we'd often get, as little boys, you know, we'd get people to come up to you and make fun of you. And they would say, "Oh, you're not, you know, you were adopted because your parents didn't want you." Or you know, they, all kinds of mean things they said that you actually... You don't really realize how much your words actually cut, and we used to. But when we had each other, we just pushed it off because we had each other to lean on. And my mom, my adopted mother, and my dad, they were good parents. You know, my mom often told me, she said, "You know, other people don't have a choice. They can't choose their children. They just have to take what God gives them." And how fortunate we are, because they got to pick us. They got to choose us, you know. And we were a real gift to them. And they loved us. But, you know, in my state of living for myself and just being, you know, as I got older, you know, using that to pity myself and find all kinds of excuses to blame God, you know, and say, "My parents don't want me. I'm just a loser," you know, and after, see, I think it was, 2005, I decided to go and find my real parents, and I had to pay social services in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, to go hunt it down. Since it was a closed adoption, they would go hunt my dad and my biological father down, and they would give them a certified letter that I wanted, stating that I wanted to meet with them, and then they were supposed to sign it and get it back to me. And anyhow, when I got the papers back, it was that they got declined from my mom and my dad. Both had declined. They didn't want to meet me. And you know, at that time, it really hurt all over again. It's like I got hit on the back of the head with a bat, you know, and it made me angry. I'm like, all of a sudden, I was going through all this feelings of rejection again and anger of, you know, now my real parents, you know, they found them, and now they don't even want to meet me, you know. But all the time, God had this awesome plan for me, and I was not seeing how grateful, you know, how the blessings God gave me, the giving me the adopted parents they gave me, the ones that love me, and through all that pain, they never quit loving me. They couldn't understand everything I was going through, but they never gave up on me. They never quit loving me. I got myself, you know, I was still really a heavy alcoholic at that time in 2005, and I was so full of anger and hate, and I never had much nice to say to God. I mean, I used to go outside and just scream at him in anger, wave my fist at the sky and say, God, why? Why did you do all this to me, you know? One night, 2005, I went out drinking. I got angry at my wife, and I decided I was going to go out and just drink it all away. And I went out drinking, and on the way home that night, I passed out, and I hit a tree head on. And that night, for some reason, I should have been killed in that accident, because the vehicle was destroyed. The dash was like pushed back two feet out of the dash. But through all that, I didn't break no bones. I was just beat up and injured. But God was ill that whole time and watched over me that time. And you'd think, you know, man, that would be enough of a lesson. You would get it, and you'd just quit drinking. And I did for a while, and then all of a sudden, I found myself sliding back into drinking again, and backsliding and drinking and just not caring. And then I gave my life to Christ. I think it was 2011. It was 2011. I gave my life to Christ. But it was after I had this terrible accident in 2011. Another time I got angry at my wife, and I told her to pack her bags and leave, and she did. And I got angry that she left, you know. And I was just so, the devil had me just in this cloud of confusion, and just had everything was negative. I couldn't see none of the blessings God gave me. Because doing all that, I had a good business. But the money I made, it's just like, I made good money, but in the end, I didn't have anything because I was living for myself. I wasn't living for God. And it's like the more I made, the more trouble just things happened, and the more the bills piled up, you know. And when I, in 2011, I left that night. I told my wife to leave, and she left. I got angry, and I was drinking, and I started drinking, and I went on about a 24-hour binge. And during that time, I ran out of alcohol, so I went down to town to get some more, and on the way back, I blacked out, and I hit a concrete wall, and they estimated it to be about 60 to 70 miles an hour. And the people that were going by said that my truck flipped end over end after it ricocheted off the wall. It flipped end over end like six, they said it probably at least six times. And they had to cut me out of that truck and lifeline me to the hospital. And I broke all my ribs and my shoulder bone and my collar bone. And I should have been killed in that accident. But God was there the whole time. He had his hand on me. He seen something in me that I didn't see myself. But, you know, I went to the hospital. I got released to come home, and I was in so much pain Because when you break your ribs, you can't do nothing for a while. And I was in so much pain, and I just cried out to God. I wanted to change my life, and I wanted to get things right. And I just kept crying out to God, but I just couldn't surrender all to God. I still wanted to hang on to some things. And God was, he knew the whole time, well, you know, he had the whole plan in his hand for me. But he brought me out of that accident. I got better, and for about 3-4 months, things were going really good. And all of a sudden, I was starting to fight again with my addiction, always having feelings to want to go get some alcohol. And I finally fell for the trick, well, one's not going to hurt you, and it led to another one. And just like that, I backslid. And, you know, even though I accepted Christ, like, I backslid from him. And I still loved him, but I hated my addiction with a terrible passion. And it's like I cried out to him, like, God, I need your help. But I just kept drinking. And through this, my wife and me started, our relationship had fell apart. It was it was a terrible wreck, my life. And for me, my children, they loved me, but they just wanted Dad to be sober, and they would watch me get sober, and then they'd get their hopes up, and then the next thing they know, they'd see me slide back in it again. And that happened so many times. And my wife found it, said, you know what, I can't take it anymore. And so we separated. And before that separation, I had actually ended up in jail because of my drinking one night. And I felt so ashamed. I was in jail for 6 days, and I got out. And I felt so ashamed at myself. And I was in jail crying to God. I'm like, God, get me out of jail and I'll never drink again. Just get me out. And he got me out of jail. And I feel like it was him because I was praying. And I really didn't deserve to be left out for what I'd done. But he left me out. And I promised God, I said, get me out of jail, I'll never drink again. And it went. That was in July, and it went till about 3 months, and then all of a sudden I was back into drinking again. I slid back in again, and it was such a terrible battle every day. Like, when I wasn't drinking, I would go, every time I'd stop at the gas station to get coffee or anything. And in Missouri, they sell alcohol at gas stations. I think they do around here too. But every time I'd walk in, I'd see it, and all day long it was this terrible mind battle, because I drank so much alcohol for so many years, for like 20 years, where I consistently drank every day. And towards the end of that, you know, probably the last 10 years of that, it was always a 12-pack and more every day. So, you know, when I was trying to quit on my own, it's like every time I'd go into a gas station, my eyes would find that. All day long, it was this terrible battle, and I just couldn't get free from it, you know. Well, then through all that, me and my wife had split up, and I seen that I was going to, chances all the way things were going, I was going to lose my wife and my children. I was probably even going to lose my business because my finances were such a wreck at this time. I didn't see no hope at all. I mean, it just looked like there was nothing. There was no hope for me, no hope, you know. And I just, one night I was at home, and I was just crying out to God. I'm like, God, I need your help. And I lived I'd moved into my dad's house. So at that time, that was my house, home. I was like, Lord, I do not want to lose my kids. I do not want to lose the children you gave me. I do not want to lose my wife. I'm like, God, I need you now. And, you know, I never forget. It's like God just showed up. He just showed up in the room that night. His glory was all over the room. It was like the light was on, but it wasn't. And I remember he said, Matt, do what's right. And when he said that, I knew what he meant. Because I had often told my wife that I would go to a recovery center. But I knew I had to surrender everything to go there. He was like, but God said that night, he said, do what's right. He said, I'll go with you. So I decided that night that I'm going to change my life. And I just surrendered my life to God that night. I said, God, I'm yours, God. And it's amazing after that what happened, because the next morning I got up and I called my pastor. I said, Kevin, I said, I want to go get help. And he called and said, sent me up to go to this place called Teen Challenge. And I had no idea exactly. I knew it was a long-term recovery program, which I didn't really want, but I had decided I'm going to surrender my life to Christ. So when he said it's going to be Teen Challenge and they're looking at a 14-month program, I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this, God, but I'm going to try, you know, with your help. That was on a Tuesday. I called him on a Tuesday morning. And I had the rest of that week. They wanted me to come in Saturday morning. So through that time, which was completely God, because through that time I had to sell my business. I had a bunch of jobs I had going that I had to get finished. And I didn't want my wife stuck with a bunch of extra payments and some of my stuff. So I just called a guy and I said, God, you want me to do this? I need your help. And I called one guy. I said, look, I have this business I need to sell. And I said, because I need to go get help. And you know that? He said, I'll take it. We didn't really even discuss anything. He just said, I'll take it. And it was like a God thing. The next thing I know, I sold my business. I got all the jobs tied up that I had going. I got the strings. I got it all done. I got all the strings tied. And my wife and I went on a Saturday morning. We went from our house and traveled 3 hours south to Neosho, Missouri, which was a home center for Teen Challenge. And then she dropped me off down. And that's where my journey began of a getting close to God and learning how to forgive all the different hurts in my life. You know, after I lost my brother, there was a lot of hatred in me for different things that were said about him. And, you know, then through all that, through the program, God started showing me how blessed of a man I really was. And all the little things we take for granted, doing life, like the simple things is just being able to get up in the morning and going and getting a cup of coffee. Because like when you were in Teen Challenge, that was something. We had two cups we could get a week. One was on a Saturday morning and one cup on Monday morning. And they were just little cups. And that's all you got, you know. And you had to ask to do everything. It's a very strict place. But it was to teach you that you didn't need everything you think you need. And you wasn't allowed to have no tobacco at this place either, because it's a Christian faith-based program, and they do not believe in tobacco, so there was no tobacco, which I went into that place. I was smoking 3 packs a day when I went into that place, and I had been wanting to quit anyhow, so that was actually a big help for me. But it's like after I went there and made that decision that I wanted to change my life and give it to God, he took that away. The cigarettes was not that bad. The coffee was the worst thing while I was there, because I loved coffee. The staff, you drink, walk around and drink it in front of me. And boy, it used to make me angry. I just wanted to trip them and grab the cup on them as it went down. But you know, through that whole thing, God just showed me all the blessings I have. And I got this relationship with God. And I just realized, you know, the victory's in Jesus. And it's like if we can just remember it's all about Him and it's not about us. And how he's got such a plan for each one of us. And it's just a matter of if we surrender our life to Him, and He'll take care of the rest of it. It's like, and just so many little things that He showed me, like there's so many little things in my life that when I wasn't willing to give them to God, it's just like He couldn't, even though He was there all the time, it's like he couldn't just, the blessings from Him and what He has for me, it was just kind of like a roadblock, more or less. Once I gave it to Christ, it was like amazing what happened. And then He started restoring my whole family. While I was in the Teen Challenge, we had some problems with one of our daughters. She had a lot of rebelliousness in her, and it was because when she was growing up, she just wanted her dad. And I love my kids, but I was caught up in my addiction, and I didn't have a lot of time between my business and my addiction. I didn't have the time that I should have took for my children, and she needed me the most, and I wasn't there for her, and then she started seeking elsewhere, same way I did when I had to avoid my life. And But while I was in Teen Challenge, she ended up that she needed to go get help, and she ended up also in Teen Challenge. And now she's changed. God's changed her life tremendously, like in no other way that we can. But, you know, more than we can even imagine what the hope that God gave her now. Like, He created a new hope in her. He created a new hope in me. And He took my heart of stone and gave me a new heart of flesh. And it's just so amazing to see what God does, you know, and the freedom He wants to give us in Him if we just submit our life to Him, you know. But, you know, as far as being adopted, I just want to encourage everybody that's been adopted that, you know, how my mom always said, you know, other people didn't get to choose their children and how she got to choose us. And then the great thing about that's what my mom said. But then God, what He says about it in Psalms 139, 13 and 14, He says, "For You created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." So God knew. He wasn't an accident. It was no accident that what happened. God knew where you were going to go. He already had a plan for you. And His plan was to prosper you and not to harm you, and His plan to give you a hope and a future. You know, and He knew all the time. And even though we don't understand at the time, you know, God does. He knows the whole picture. And in Psalms 27:10, He says, "Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." And Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." So God had it all planned, you know, and He picked these parents for us that just loved us, and He blessed them with the children that He, you know, that were there available for adoption. And it was God's plan that mom and dad was there for you at the time and who they were, you know, and it was all part of the plan. And just wanted to encourage you just to remember that, you know, God loves you all so much, and He has a plan for each one of you and for everybody, because we're all adopted into the kingdom of God when we accept Jesus as our Savior and surrender our life to Him. We're automatically adopted into His kingdom, and it's awesome. And He just wants to fill us full of His Spirit, and He wants to pour His blessings out upon us. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, in John 3:16, it says, "If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." And that's so true, man. It's so awesome. If we fail, we just cry out to God and say, "God, hey, I messed up." And that's it. He takes it. Say, "God, I'm sorry." He takes that sin as far as the east is from the west. And it doesn't give us an excuse to keep on sinning, but God loves us. God is love. God loves us. And it's so amazing if people could understand how much God loves them. And if we just give it all, like it says in 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your anxieties on me because I care for you." And it's so true. God does it. And it was through Teen Challenge, I've seen so many things happen that it was only because of God. It was like, I remember the first thing that really caught my attention was that I knew it was God. My wife was struggling pretty hard because after I sold the business, there wasn't money left over. And we went to Teen Challenge on faith. And she had a small job, but she only made about half of what she needed to pay the monthly bills. But as I was in the program, God just started taking care of that. And she'd have checks just showed up in the mail from people just sending her money, not realizing how bad it was, but actually just wanting to help, you know. And it was one time she told me, she said, "Matt," and I went into Teen Challenge in October, and it was, I think, in the middle of November. She came to visit me, and I asked her, I said, "What are you going to be able to do for the children for Christmas this year?" And she said, "The way things are," she said, "I'll be lucky if I can just get a little stocking full for each one, just some candy and stuff." And, you know, it really helped me. And I was like, "God," because when I was always home, I'd always try to go out and spend, you know, $50 or $75 on each child. I mean, not a lot, but just enough to bless him and, you know, celebrate the birth of Jesus. And I just started crying out to God. I'm like, God. I said, God, I need your help. I said, Lord, I don't want my children to go through this Christmas and not really have anything. And because I knew, you know, how kids are and how it really means a lot to them. And I started crying out. Every night I would pray to God about it. I'm like, God, help those with this situation. And she didn't know that I was praying for it. And she said one day she went to the school and they said, hey, they said your gifts are here for your children. And she said, gifts? She said, yeah, somebody signed you in for gifts. And they said they're back there in that room, you know. So she went back there and heard there was a big pile of gifts on the floor. And she said, which ones are mine? They said, they're all for you. They said, they're all for you. And it was like, she said there were so many she can only get them in the Suburban. And that, you know, that's just one of the ways God works. You know, that was the first time God just showed me how much he loves us. That was one of the first answered prayers that I could say, God. I knew it was God. And then after that, it started to be so many other things would happen. And it was all the same way. And it was always God. It was like, there was no other way to explain it. It was God. And now look, you know, and I see all these people that struggle every day with the same things I did. And I just want to help them. And, you know, the best way we can help each other is just being there for each other. Not condemning one another, just lifting each other up and saying, God, here I am. Oh God, help me. And he'll do it. He'll always will. He always will. But anyhow, you know, there's so much more I could say, but I just want to just bless everybody here, and I just want you to know that, you know, I'm never give up. But don't matter what's going on in your life, don't never give up. God, you know, sometimes we don't understand, we can't see the whole picture. We want it to happen right now, but just be patient and just bring it to God, and he'll work it all out. And when he does, it'll be a lot better than you ever thought it would be. It'll be a beautiful thing. So, thank you, guys. Bless you all.